Okay, so let's begin. So we left off, we were going through the halachos of Shabbos, the positive commandments of Shabbos, and last time we were doing the halachos of Kiddush in the morning, and some of the halachos of the Shabbos day Suda. So now, let's move to the halachos of Shalosh Shuddos. Well, Mr. Shem will be doing Shalosh Shuddos and Havdalah and Melava Malka, and then we'll see where it takes us after that. So just to discuss a few halachos of Shalosh Shuddos that we discussed already a month or two ago, that women, that we are obligated to have three seudos every Shabbos. We have three meals every Shabbos. And we said that women are obligated to have those three seudos just as much as men. We discussed that since we have a connection between the positive commandments of Shabbos and the negative commandments of Shabbos, because Zohar and Shomer in last week's parasha were said together. So we learn that women are obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos. That's both the deraisas and the derabbanans. So as far as the whatever we're about to discuss for the halachos of Shalosh Shuddos, the third seuda, the third meal that we have on Shabbos, it's the same for men and women. And the place can really say very strongly that you should tell the women that they are just as much obligated because they don't realize. And so what we're going to say applies even to women. So we said that they're obligated in the three meals. We said the reason why we have three meals on Shabbos is as a remembrance of the man, that fell from the Shemayim, from the heavens in the desert, in the Midbar. And to commemorate that, they had the meals. We had one meal at night, Friday night. Then they had two meals, one for Shabbos day, and then one for Shabbos evening before the Shabbos ends. Preferably, so the Shalosh Shuddos should start before Shkia, before sunset. So we have a calendar, whether it's a shul calendar or some other type of calendar, and we'll know what time the sunset is. If you have a calendar that says just what time candle lighting is on Friday, so there's not going to be so much of a difference between Friday and Shabbos, so the candle lighting that it says on the calendar is always 18 minutes before Shkia, 18 minutes before sunset. So if that's all you have handy, so you'll see what time the candle lighting is, you add 18 minutes later than that, and then if sunset is getting later at that time of year, then maybe perhaps add a minute. If it's getting earlier, perhaps subtract a minute.
Are there any leniencies for that? Because it is, and then sometimes Ron would be having Shalosh Shuddos at shul, but it seemed like they were eating much later.
It was later. So let's discuss some of the leniencies. Okay. So preferably, it should be started, meaning started means you should wash and take a bite of the challah before the sunset. There is leniencies that if you did not start before the sunset, so you have some time after the sunset to still wash. So how long is that? How many minutes leeway do you have? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you have up until 30 minutes after sunset. Okay, up until 30 minutes after sunset. This is if you did not fulfill yet the obligation of the third meal, which is usually the case, right? We have one meal Friday night, we have one meal Shabbos morning, and then we maybe perhaps had some snacks, but we want to wash now for Shalosh Shuddos, which we're going to discuss what you need to eat for Shalosh Shuddos. We'll discuss that momentarily. But you have up until 30 minutes after sunset starts to still fulfill your mitzvah of Shalosh Shuddos. It's not preferable, but if you didn't get a chance to wash before the sunset, then you should you could do that. Well, let me just say, so if you've had already the mitzvah of Shalosh Shuddos, that you ate Shalosh Shuddos earlier in the afternoon, then once the sunset comes, then you shouldn't be eating after sunset whatsoever. Then you shouldn't be eating after sunset, because we're going to see when we get to Havdalah that there's a halacha that you're not supposed to eat before Havdalah. Before you eat Havdalah, you're not supposed to eat. So before you make Havdalah, you're not supposed to eat or hear Havdalah. So after sunset comes, then you shouldn't be eating unless you have this 30-minute leeway to fulfill your obligation of Shalosh Shuddos, which is usually the case. So usually that's the case, that you still didn't do the Shalosh Shuddos yet, the third meal yet, and you'll come, you'll have that leeway after sunset, but again, preferably it should be done before sunset.
But you shouldn't be eating how long before Havdalah?
Well, once the obligation of Havdalah kicks in, then now I'm obligated in Havdalah, then I'm not allowed to eat.
Oh, okay.
Unless, right, so now once sunset comes, so that's considered as if a period of time where perhaps it's night already. So if it's perhaps it's night, then perhaps my obligation of Havdalah has now kicked in, then it's considered before Havdalah, and then I would not be able to eat. But if I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Shittos yet, so since it's only a doubt whether it's night or still day, so that the Mishnah Berurah tells us that you still have 30 minutes from after sunset to still fulfill your obligation. The starting time for Shalosh Shittos is starting from 30 minutes after Chatzos, 30 minutes after midday. Now, I think we were discussing this 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago, that midday, when we say Chatzos, midday, of course, that doesn't mean 12 o'clock on the clock. The Chatzos is what the Hebrew Chatzos, the Jewish time of smack in the middle of the day, right? As we know, like by Pesach night, sometimes we have that's 1 o'clock in the morning. So a person needs to know approximately what time is Chatzos. A half hour after that, then you're able to start eating your third meal. Meaning if you want to eat earlier in the day, the third meal, that has to be after a half hour after Chatzos.
So what is that now?
So now Chatzos, I think, is somewhere in the area of 10 after 12, or quarter after 12. So if let's say you want to, so 30 minutes after Chatzos would be approximately 12:40, 12:45. Okay. So now, usually that's not a problem, right? When is that a problem? I'm going to eat my second meal on Shabbos before that time, but there are a couple situations where it could be important to keep in mind. One situation I think we were talking about last week, by Kiddush, that for Shabbos day Kiddush, so with what you're allowed to eat to fulfill that mitzvah. So we said sometimes you'll come to Kiddush and there's challah rolls, because people want to be careful that they only have the Shabbos day Kiddush unless they actually wash. We discussed that we paskin, you're also allowed to have mezonos foods and cake or cookies and things like that, but there are plenty of people that are careful to only wash, right? So we discussed, let's say you come to a bar mitzvah and you come to a Kiddush, but so let's say a person is careful about that, so they want to wash. They wash and then they have the Kiddush. Then they have the family Suda, right? All the other friends leave, we said, and they stay for the real Suda. So that is the second time that they are washing today. They cannot use that as their Shalosh Shittos. They can't use that as their third meal, because that third meal probably started before, too early, it started before a half hour after Chatzos. So that a person needs to keep in mind if they do that. And secondly, sometimes it comes up, which it does not come up this year, but sometimes you'll have that Pesach starts on Matzah Shabbos. Pesach starts on Matzah Shabbos. So this year it doesn't. I think actually it starts Friday night this year. So but sometimes Pesach starts Matzah Shabbos. So if you have Shabbos, you have to have two meals today on Shabbos. The problem is, what do you eat? You can't eat chametz too late in the day, and you don't want to eat chametz, you know, you don't want to have a lot of chametz, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach, certain types of matzah. So what a lot of people do is, they have their two meals early in the morning, when you're still allowed to eat chametz, and then they, of course, dust themselves off, and they get rid of all the chametz. But a person needs to be careful that if they want to have their two meals, a person needs to keep in mind when that second meal takes place. They have to look at their watch, just to make sure that second meal, you know, should be after chatzos. So the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a few different opinions that this you may be familiar with, that there are a few different opinions what needs to be eaten to fulfill the obligation of Shalosh Shittos, of the third meal. So now, again, we keep on saying that everyone, men and women, need to have something for the third meal. They can't leave it out. They're not supposed to leave it out totally. They should definitely have something. But what do you need to have? So the Shulchan Aruch brings a number of different opinions, a few different opinions. Opinion number one is that you need to wash. You need to have hamotzi, just like the Friday night meal and just like the Shabbos day meal. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two, the Shulchan Aruch says, is some say that you could have meat or fish. You don't have to wash. It's enough if you just have something special like meat or fish or something like that. Opinion number three is you could have just fruits. It's enough to fulfill with just fruit. But the Shulchan Aruch says, which one do we paskin like? What do we say? Shulchan Aruch says that you should wash. Shulchan Aruch says that you should wash. So really, a person should be washing for Shalosh Shittos. Now, when we say that you need to wash and eat hamotzi, challah, or matzah, or something like that, so we said that preferably you should be eating the size of two kezias. Two kezias, again, we said that's the size of a half of loaf of rye bread. You take a regular 2-pound slice of bread, and you take the middle slice, the biggest slice of rye bread, and half of that slice, approximately, is 2 kezias. We said if a person really feels that they can't eat that much, then they can have 1 kezias, which is a quarter of a slice. But preferably, you should have you should have hamotzi, you should have chala or matzo or something like that for the shalosh shenis.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is just having a fruit, is that like a very minority opinion?
Well, according to, it is the most minority, meaning because according to the opinion that you're allowed to have just meat or fish, you're for sure allowed to wash. For sure you fulfill with washing. And according to the third opinion that you could have fruit, for sure you fulfill the mitzvah with meat or fish and with hamotzi. So meaning if you have the hamotzi, if you have bread, you fulfilled all the opinions. And the Shulchan Aruch told us that that's really how we pask and that's how we go with. But it's not irrelevant, that third opinion of having just fruit, because after all, the Shulchan Aruch did bring it. He did bring down such an opinion, but he said that we don't go with that.
So I've been told by mainstream rabbis that a fruit is fine.
Right. So what the Mishnah Berurah says is that if a person, let's say in the winter months, where you had a big huge Shabbos day meal and it finished till it went till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you need to have something to eat at 4 o'clock, so if you feel like you can't wash because you're just stuffed, so then the Mishnah Berurah says that the purpose of Shabbos, the purpose of the meals, is to enjoy yourself. If you're going to stuff yourself and it's just going to pain you, so that's a famous halacha that you're not obligated to wash for Shalosh Shittos because it really pains you. I think it's safe to say that, come on, a half a piece of rye bread is too kazayit. That's going to like really pain a person. I find that hard to believe. I think a person should be able to manage to bring themselves to eat that amount of bread. You don't have to, serve tuna fish and gefilte fish. That you don't have to do. But at least to find the space in their stomach to be able to eat that amount of bread. And the Shulchan Aruch even says that a person has to be careful when they eat the Shabbos lunch meal. He says, be careful. Remember that Shalosh Shittos is coming up. So don't overstuff yourself at the Shabbos day meal, even if there's tons of good food. Keep in mind, if they're the type of person that if you eat a lot by the Shabbos day meal, you're not going to be able to eat Shalosh Shittos, don't eat so much by the Shabbos day. Be careful. But if a posik told you that, whatever, it's totally fine. You just go right ahead and eat fruit. The Shulchan Aruch says not like that. I find that hard to believe. Could be they saw some other poskim that they're relying on, but the Shulchan Aruch says, it really shouldn't be done. Okay. You can hate me if you want. But I'm sorry.
You really just wash and bench, and that's it.
For sure, you wash, eat that amount, and we said as far as the obligation to bench, you have to eat the size of a kazayas. To fulfill the mitzvah of the suuda, preferably it should be 2 kazayas, but worst comes to worst, it could be 1 kazayas.
So if you're adding, let's say, a piece of fish, it's just totally extra and just to beautify
the
mitzvah.
It is nice. The Mishnah Berurah does bring in right in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos that it's nice to have fish and even meat perhaps by every meal, but if a person can't afford it, or if a person feels like this is not pleasurable to me, I had enough gefilte fish last night, I had enough gefilte fish today, I don't want to have the gefilte fish. So then some person doesn't have to force himself to have the fish. But although it is nice, my father's always makbet to have fish by all 3 meals. My mother knows that, even if she's serving other things, but she gives him a small piece of gefilte fish. Let's say we have tons of people, and she only has 1 piece of gefilte fish left. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows my father gets it, because he's makbet to have the 3 by each of the 3 meals. But a person doesn't have to force himself to the fish. But for the bread, again, like I was saying before, a person doesn't have to force themselves to have the bread either. But I think I think it's safe to say that we should be able to eat at least 1 kazayis, preferably 2 kazayis of bread. It should be manageable. Now, you may remember when we discussed the halachos of benching, and a person forgets the paragraph of Ritzei v'Hachlitzeinu in benching. Right? We said when we bench on Shabbos, so we add the paragraph in the middle of benching, that paragraph of Ritzei v'Hachlitzeinu. So we discussed this a few weeks ago. So we said the rule is, let's say a person benches, but they forget. And they forget Ritzei. So do they have to repeat the benching or not? So we said the rule of thumb was, we said that if it was a meal that you were obligated to wash, and then you forgot, and then you benched, and you forgot the ritzei, then you need to repeat the benching. So we plugged it in, each meal, and we said Friday night and Shabbos day, if you benched and you forgot ritzei, then you need to repeat the benching, because you were obligated to wash. By Shalosh Shittos, if you remember, what did we say? We said that even though the Shulchan Aruch says you should wash by Shalosh Shittos, but after all, there are some opinions not. The Shulchan Aruch does bring the other opinions that say not. So therefore, since the Shulchan Aruch does bring those other opinions, so to go, we go, and because of a doubt, because of a suffix, so we'll say, don't repeat the benching. But that doesn't mean, oh, you know, you could just go right ahead, and you don't. That means you don't have to wash. Preferably, you know, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you should wash, but because there's a doubt, so if you forget Ritzei by Shalosh Shudas, therefore you do not repeat the benching. My friend told me his Rosh Hashiva used to always tell him. He asked his Rosh Hashiva when he got married, should I go to Shul for the Shalosh Shudas, or should I come back home after Mincha and come home and eat Shalosh Shudas with my wife? So his Rosh Hashiva said, you should go back home and eat Shalosh Shudas with your wife. Now, every person has to do what's good for their family, good for the wives, good for the men. It could be the wives want the husbands to just stay there. But then it could be the man listens to a shir over there, and it's a very important time. It's really one of his only times he gets a chance to learn. So fine, then it's great to stay there. But this Rosh Hashiva told my friend that he should come home, and nothing to do with Shalom Bayis reasons. He said, because if you stay in Shul for Shalosh Shudas, just watch. Your wife is not going to end up eating Shalosh Shudas. He says, you should come home, you eat, and you make sure she eats, and this way, you know, he was just trying to stress that a woman is obligated in Shalosh Shudas just as much as a man, and as we were discussing, the Shulchan Aruch says really you should wash. If a person really feels that they can't wash, then by all means they could eat either meat or fish, and then if not, by all means they could eat fruit. When you bench by Shalosh Shudas, so we have the benching, and we said you add Ritzei. Let's say your meal continues way into the night, right? So the halacha is, and even if you're benching way into the night, it's very dark outside, and it's even after what we call Tseis HaKuchavim, which means that it's for sure night. We've reached a point of time where it's for sure night. Different discussions, different opinions, how many minutes after Shkia, after sunset, that is. But even if it's past the time where we know for sure it's night, but since I ate my meal, since I started my meal on Shabbos, and I washed on Shabbos, and then all the other food is considered secondary to the bread, so halacha is that you still say Ritzei. And you may feel weird because it's night, my husband left the shul already, but you say that paragraph of Ritzei in the benching, even if you bench way into the night.
So if you miss Shalosh Shudas, okay, then you just don't eat until after
Right, if
Abdallah.
You right, then you don't eat till after Abdallah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Let's say this can happen sometimes, that you hear Avdallah, you make Avdallah, you hear Avdallah, and you realize, oh my gosh, I never benched from Shalosh Shudas. Mm-hmm. Right? This happens to the best of us. That you're supposed to bench, you know, in Shalosh Shudas, but the kids and the this, and you were going out, and you figured you're just going to come back, and then you didn't end up, and before you know it, your husband comes home from Shul, and then he wants to make Avdallah, and you make Avdallah, and you're like, oh my gosh, I never benched from Shalosh Shudas. So, I think we discussed at one point, at some point, a month or two ago, how long after you finish eating are you still able to bench? Meaning, so you realize, oh, an hour ago I stopped eating, but now I realize I never benched. So I think we discussed in passing some of those halachas, did we? We said that we paskin that if it's within 72 minutes from when you finished eating, then you could bench. You still need to bench. Meaning, we're not talking about you're not sure. We're talking about, you know, for a fact, you did not bench. You forgot to bench. You know for sure you didn't bench. So within 72 minutes, you still need to bench. After 72 minutes, so that's where it gets a teeny bit tricky, but if it's after 72 minutes from when you finished eating, then we said that if you're not hungry yet because of the food that you ate, then you can still bench. Even if it's more than 72 minutes away. Again, within 72 minutes, no matter what, you could still bench. After 72 minutes, then it depends. If you are still not hungry yet, you don't have to be full still, but if you're not hungry yet because of that food that you ate, then you're still able to bench. And that'll depend on, is it 75 minutes from when you last ate? Is it 90 minutes? Is it 120 minutes? It'll also depend how much you ate. Are you coming off of a big meal? So then you may still be not hungry yet, even 2 hours later, and then you're still able to bench. But if it was just at a bag of potato chips, so within 72 minutes you could still bench, you can make your bone nefashos. But if it's more than 72 minutes later, I would imagine because of that bag of potato chips, you're hungry again just from one small bag of potato chips, so then you would not be able to say you're benching anymore. So now let's say Abdallah happens, you hear Abdallah, and then you realize you never benched. So let's say, assuming we're talking about a situation where you still are able to bench, you're either within 72 minutes or you're still not hungry because of that huge Shalosh Shudas that you prepared for yourself. So if you need to bench, the halacha is that if you heard Abdullah already, you do not say Ritzei. There you do not say Ritzei. Meaning you need to bench, if you're in that amount of time that you could still bench, but there you do not say Ritzei. And the reason is because it will be like a contradiction. It's, you heard Abdullah already, And then you're going to go say Ritzeh in your benching? How could you say that paragraph of Ritzeh, which is a paragraph special for the Shabbos, but you already heard Havdalah? Meaning if I started my meal before and it's just way late into the night, I could still say Ritzeh, but not if I heard Havdalah. Not if I heard Havdalah already, or if I made Havdalah ready, so then you can't, then you do not say Ritzeh anymore.
So if I'm not hungry, I can still bench until how many hours?
It could go on for hours.
Forever.
If you really ate a big, huge meal, and you're not hungry yet because of that food that you ate, you're still able to. Actually, just this week, one of my students asked me, she said she ate at 12 o'clock at night, and of course the whole class giggled, and I was fine. She ate at 12 o'clock at night, she woke up in the morning, and she realized she didn't bench last night. And she said she wasn't hungry. She still wasn't hungry yet. So can she still bench from last night's midnight, I don't know, snack, if you want to call it? I said, you must have eaten a bit a lot at 12 o'clock. But so I would imagine if she is still not hungry because of what she ate, then she would still be able to bench. You know, if she would want to continue to eat, she would need to make a new bracha. But it's a new bracha rishon. I mean, she would have to make a new ha'etz or ha'motzi, whatever it is, because she went to sleep. That's considered a breakage, right. A break-off. But as far as can she still bench from that food, if she was honest that she really was still not hungry yet because of it, so then fine, you know, she would still be allowed to bench, I would think.
Is Havdalah a break then too, or could you continue eating if you were not hungry? You made Havdalah, you had chalcedon, didn't bench.
And then you want to continue to eat?
Could you continue that meal?
I guess so, yeah. If you were still in the middle of your meal, you still were planning on to continue to eat, and then before you know it, your husband comes home and he makes Havdalah and you were still planning to eat, I'd imagine, yeah, you would not have to make a new bracha because that's, you know, it's all connected, yeah. Let's say, now this you got to concentrate for. I'm going to tell you a question that another student of mine asked last year. It's my favorite question that I've ever been asked. So listen closely. Let's say, until now we just were talking about if you heard Havdalah. If you heard Havdalah, we said that you have to bench, but you don't say the paragraph of Ritzeh, because that would be like a contradiction. You already heard Havdalah. We know that there's a halacha that, let's say you want to do the dishes, or you want to turn on the lights, but you didn't hear Havdalah yet. Your husband is schmoozing in shul, and he's not coming home, and you want to start, you know, the cleaning. So what you say is, you say a short phrase of Baruch Hamavda Ben Kodesh Lecha. Baruch Hamavda Ben Kodesh Lecha, then you're allowed to do malacha, and you're allowed to do all weekday types of activities. Then you can start changing your clothes, and then you can start doing the dishes, once you say Baruch Hamavda Ben Kodesh Lecha. So let's say you say Baruch Hamavda Ben Kodesh Lecha, and you did not hear Havdalah yet, but then you realize you never benched. You realize you didn't bench.
Say that slowly.
You said Baruch Hamavda Mekodesh Lechol, so therefore now you could start turning on lights, and okay, you could write and answer the phone and things like that. Uh-huh. And then you realize you never benched from your Shalosh Shuddos.
Isn't the same answer?
So there the question is that also a contradiction? You have to bench. You're talking about you have to bench, but do you say Ritzeh? Because it's sort of as if Shabbos is over. I didn't hear Havdalah.
No, you ended it for yourself.
You ended it for yourself.
Yeah.
So whatever you say, you're going to be right, and whatever you say, you're going to be wrong, because the Mishnah Berurah is not sure. The Mishnah Berurah is not sure. He brings it to Suffolk. It's a doubt. He brings others. He says he's not sure.
But that line is also from Havdalah. So even if you hear Havdalah,
so to fulfill the actual Havdalah, you're right. Midaraisa, on a deraisa level, all you need to do is say Baruch Hamavda Mekodesh Lechol, and that's why I'm allowed to go do work. I'm allowed to go do malacha. But we're not sure, is that a total break? Is that still considered a contradiction? It's not, I still have an obligation to hear Havdalah.
You can say Havdalah till Tuesday.
Preferably, it's supposed to be Matzah Shabbos. If a person's not able to do Matzah Shabbos, a person's in a hospital or something like that, they're not able to say Matzah Shabbos.
It's going to end no matter what, you know, you can't hold on to Shabbos forever.
Yeah, because as far as the malacha is concerned,
right.
Yeah, but you still have your obligation to say Havdalah, for sure to bench, but also you still have somewhat of an obligation to bench, to say Havdalah. It's supposed to be over a cup of wine, and that you didn't have, that much you didn't have. So the Mishnah Berurah has a doubt, he has a suffix, he's not sure. And the Moshe Feinstein says that you do say Ritzeh, others say that you do not say Ritzeh. It's a big doubt. So
it's like the same question though.
I'm sorry?
I don't see the difference between hearing Havdalah and then just saying that pasuk on your own.
Because even once I say that pasuk on my own, so for me, according to the Raisa, it's not considered Shabbos. But there still is somewhat of my obligation that I still have to fulfill as far as Havdalah is concerned. And that is to hear it over a cup of wine. Sunday, Monday,
part.
Tuesday, whatever it is, but I still have an obligation to hear Havdalah over a cup of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I am still not, I could do malacha, but as far as, do I say Ritzeh in benching, as far as it could be, it's not considered a contradiction that I'm saying Ritzei, down benching. I ate my meal on Shabbos. That's what we're talking about. I ate my meal on Shabbos. The question is, right now for me, is my Shabbos totally gone? And now I can't. It's silly. It's considered a contradiction just to say that paragraph for Ritzei. That is a doubt amongst the Paiskim.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you said you're allowed to do malacha after you separate with that, just saying that.
Right.
Is there anything that you're not... Is it only supposed to be necessary things that you're supposed to do? I always wondered, like, can I just go on the computer and do just look around
and
whatever?
You're allowed to. Yes, okay. You're allowed to. Yeah. Once you say baruch
hamad, do dishes and...
Yeah, for sure, dishes, yeah. That for sure. You know,
okay,
that,
so
that
it's not,
allowed.
Like, only necessary
things. Right, yeah.
Okay.
And the place can tell us that even, let's say, like, doing dishes. Okay, doing the dishes, maybe not such a good example, because you want to use hot water, which you wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos. You want to use a sponge. But even something that is not forbidden on Shabbos, it's just not Shabbos-tick. You know, like, I want to change it to my weekday clothes.
Yeah.
I want to change it to my comfortable clothes. So preferably you should say Baruch Hamavda before you do that as well. Meaning even if you're going to be doing some type of weekday thing, even if it's not forbidden on Shabbos, but it's a weekday act, so also you should be saying Baruch Hamavda.
Get
in the mail. Okay, get in the mail also may not be allowed
on
Shabbos.
Wait, you say it
Right, no, that's why you make sure I say the positive, then get it.
Right, exactly. Right. So that's another thing that you're not allowed
to be
done on Shabbos. Let's say perhaps it's Muksa, more than just perhaps, but maybe a discussion for a different time. Before you want to take in the mail, you say Baruch Hamavda.
Wouldn't you say it right when Shabbos is over?
You can say it at any point after it is for sure night. Now,
okay.
How many minutes after sunset is it for sure night? So there's different opinions.
Look on the calendar and see.
You can look on the calendar. So which calendar do you look at?
I never know which
okay.
calendar.
So some calendars say 50 minutes after sunset, which is what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. There are those calendars that say 72 minutes after sunset. There are those that are very careful about that, even if they're not Hasidish, but for that they're very careful that to wait 72 minutes.
Who's the 72 minutes?
That's called the Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam. And the question is, if we, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole discussion, and he says that in America, the Rabbeinu Tam's 72 is really 50. So that's why plenty of people say Davin Marib and they say Havdalah after 50 minutes. But there are plenty of people that they'll do something midrabbanon, like taking in the mail or washing the dishes perhaps, or something that's only forbidden on the rabbanon level after 50 minutes, but they won't get in a car or something that's perhaps midiraisa until after 72 minutes.
And it's 50 minutes or 72 after sunset.
After sunset, exactly. So we have that if you heard Havdalah, then you do not say Ritzei. If you just said Baruch Hamavda Mekodesh L'chol, then there's a doubt. So now when there's a doubt, so I would imagine if there's a doubt, Rabbi Yashiv says that when there's a doubt, you do not say it, because after all, it is a doubt. So again, it would end up being that you don't say it. But it is a very solid doubt. So one of my students asked me the following. You don't have to write this, but this is I spoke to many different Talmidei Chachamim about it. They all enjoyed the question. So she said like this. Let's say I said Baruch Hamavda Mekodesh L'chol, right? And then I realized, and I never benched. So now it's a doubt. I have to bench, but it's a doubt, should I say Ritzei or not? So she wanted to know, should I go ahead and purposely make Havdalah or hear Havdalah before I bench? So then I know for a fact I don't have to make Havdalah, I don't have to say Ritzei.
Mm.
Isn't that a good question? Meaning right now, if I bench right now, the Mishnah Berurah is not sure, should I say Ritzei or should I not say Ritzei? I have a great idea, let me wait to hear Havdalah and then I'll bench and I'll know for a fact I don't have to say Ritzei. So I asked,
she's still hungry? Is she not hungry?
No, let's say she can still bench after Havdalah. It's just within a few minutes, right? So she can still bench, even if she benches after Havdalah, she can still bench. But since she'll know for a fact, she won't have to say Ritzei. So I spoke to many different people about it, and some said for sure yeah, some say for sure no. I'm not sure, but just the question, you know, was a good eye opener. So I wouldn't know exactly. I don't know exactly what to answer, but anyways, at this point, if you're not sure, so Rabbi Yashiv says that since it's a big machlokas and it's a big doubt, so you shouldn't say it. Let's say this is a complicated case. This is a case that a lot of people talk about, and could be you have heard this. We know that on Shabbos we say Ritzei, and on Rosh Chodesh, when you bench on Rosh Chodesh, I think we discussed this, that you add the paragraph of Yalav Yavam.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. Okay, so that means the Rosh Chodesh really starts Matzah Shabbos. So when I bench for Shalosh Shudos, I ate some of my meal before sunset, which was Shabbos. I ate some of my meal after sunset, which is perhaps Rosh Chodesh. So now when I bench, what do I say? Do I say just Ritzei, because that's when I started my meal? Do I say just Yalav Yavo, because Now I'm benching, and now it's Yal, now it's Rosh Chodesh only. Or do I say both, because I ate my meal before and after? So also, a big discussion in the Poskim, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses it. However, what practically comes out, just to tell you what practically comes out, I saw in the Piskei Tshuva, they bring that the only time this is a question is if you ate after Tseis HaKochavim, which means after 50 minutes after sunset. Meaning if 50 minutes after sunset I was still eating, so then we have this discussion. But generally that's not the case. The men, for sure not, because they already go to shul usually by that time, and the women usually are not still eating. So it practically ends up coming out that, according to that, is that you would just say Ritzei.
It's okay. Just like the camp syndrome or like Shabbatones, when like you
right. Well, it just ends
like
very
everyday
late.
Life, like
right.
No one
right.
Or Shabbos Kala.
Right. Or Shabbos Kala. Yeah, there are times.
Right.
The truth is, the Hasidic rebbes, when they make Shalosh Shudas, and they for sure hold of 72, but they could Shalosh Shudas like way into the night, deep into Matzah Shabbos. Someone just told me that they just like drove to Brooklyn, and they still. To see a Hasidic Rebbe, and the Hasidic Rebbe was still having Shalosh Shudas. He was still having Shalosh Shudas, but they didn't make Abdullah yet. They were still having Shalosh Shudas, and he drove right after Shabbos to Brooklyn. So, you know, so. Okay.
That's beautifying the mitzvah.
Yes, that is beautifying the mitzvah. And there, you know, we discussed, I think, or maybe, I don't know if we discussed it, but as far as there was a mitzvah of adding on to the Shabbos, being Mosif Michol Al HaKodesh. And we discussed as far as stopping to do malach a little bit early before Shabbos actually starts. There's a mitzvah to add on to the Shabbos afterwards as well, but that you just need to do a little bit. But a person shouldn't rush, you know, rush out after Shabbos. Meaning, if the second Shabbos is over, you start, okay, finally now, you know, you turn on your cell phone and start, you know, seeing all the emails that you have to check up on, and you're doing all the things. So, you know, so that's not considered kavod to the Shabbos. It's probably also not good chinuch for the children. But even without that, it's not necessarily, you know, the most kavod. If a person needs to get their emails and need to turn on the phone just to see if they missed any calls or something like that, the person, you know, it's important, so fine. But a person should, you know, add on, you know, towards the end
so
of Shabbos.
Where would you add on? I think he really holds up 72 minutes.
I live on the other side of town, so I usually don't end up being there
right,
for that.
So yeah. I'm pretty sure, because my mother's already calling me on the phone that my father's already making Abdullah. I'm with the Yeshiva Far Rockaway, and Dave is like still like on his way home.
That's it, right, okay.
So my question is,
so like where do you have that addition? You're saying where do you add that on?
Yeah, so my husband come home, sit down with the kids, learn right. something else, and then make
it
down?
For the Matzah Shabbos, it really only needs to be very short. It needs to be very short. Meaning on Friday to add on early to Shabbos, we said there were some opinions that all you need is 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. By after
so
Shabbos,
like
it's even less than that. It's even more. It could be even less than
before the 18 minutes.
But right, on Shabbos. No, the 18 minutes is for sure. If you light candles at 18 minutes, you just added 18 minutes to Shabbos.
Oh, right.
18 minutes before sunset.
Right.
So for sure that's okay. I think we didn't discuss it. Maybe on the Shabbos afternoon shiur, when we discussed the lachos of adlachos neros, we said that when I think we said back then, probably, that there's two reasons why we're supposed to light at 18 minutes before sunset. There's two reasons why you should be lighting as close to that 18 minutes as possible. Meaning, if you don't light at 18 minutes before, it's not like, okay, I already missed the 18, so let me just wait. You should do it at 17. And if you don't do it 17 minutes before sunset, you should try to do it at 16. And there's two reasons. And one of the reasons is because this way you're adding on to the Shabbos. Because once the sunset comes, then I have to assume that perhaps it's Shabbos. Because sunset is now a doubt that maybe it's night. So I want to get that mitzvah, and women, quite possibly, according to many people, women are obligated in that mitzvah as well, that you're supposed to add on to the Shabbos. So if you light 18 minutes before, or 17, or 16, or 15, or 14, you're adding more to the Shabbos. So therefore it's better, a lot of people shouldn't make a mistake that, okay, there's 18 minutes before, and then if I missed 18 minutes, okay, so now I have no reason to do it any quicker now, as long as I do it before sunset. That's not the case. You should be doing it as early as possible. And reason number two,
they have 30 minutes, and they have 30 and 18.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's based on different zmanim, different calculations, what's the best time to light.
It's also for Segula, because of all the tragedies that were going on, they figured, I could totally be wrong, but Rabbi Zichron took upon as a community to do even earlier?
Okay, very nice.
I think that was the shul, for his shul.
Okay, for sure.
Our little community in the shul.
Right, okay, that's nice. No, that's definitely nice. But reason number two, which is an important thing to know, just once we're on the topic, and it's already, we have a few minutes. Reason number two why a person shouldn't light so close to Shkia is because we can never be exactly sure when sunset is. Meaning, even if you look up on a calendar, they say that even the naval observatory charts that say exactly what time sunset is, it can't be that exact, because it depends on the sea level, depends on where it's from, it depends where you are, it depends where they were. It can't be exact. So if you have a few things you need to do before Shabbos, the hot plate, the crock pot, the urn, and the lights, and things like that. So you say, okay, sunset, it says on the calendar that sunset is 5:30. So at 5:29, I could do it because it's not sunset. Definitely, it should not be done at 5:29. It should not be done at 5:28. I'll tell you just a cute story that once, it's not even a cute story, but it's really practical by a baby being born for a bris. That if a baby is born right around sunset time, so the question is, when is the bris? Besides Shabbos, let's say the baby is born Tuesday evening, right around sunset. So is the bris on Tuesday, is the bris on Wednesday? So if the baby is born after sunset, then the halacha is that we do the bris the next Wednesday, not the bris next Tuesday, because you can't do a bris before the eighth day. And worst comes to worst, if you do a bris after the eighth day, if really Tuesday was day number eight, and you did the bris on the ninth day, it's not the end of the world. By a baby that's sick or jaundice, you know, we push off the bris for an extra day. So Rab David Feinstein, who's Rab Moshe Feinstein's son, told my brother-in-law, who's also a mile, that he once had a baby that was born like 4 minutes before Shkia, 4 or 5 minutes before sunset. And he told him, you should do the bris the next day. Meaning, let's say he was born Tuesday evening, 4 or 5 minutes before the sunset, he said, you shouldn't do the bris Tuesday. You should do the bris Wednesday. Right. Even 4 or 5 minutes before.
There was a doubt as to when the baby was born?
Yes, because we know exactly the baby was born 4 minutes before sunset. Uh-huh. But we're not sure, according to halacha, is that really sunset? Tuesday, okay, or Wednesday? Meaning, even though the chart says what time sunset is, even if you call Zmanim hotline and the myzmanim.com, whatever it is, and you see what time it says, for where you're situated and where the hospital is situated, you can never be exactly sure. And that's why it's important for Shabbos as well. If the clock says a certain time and you say, oh, it's not sunset yet, you should not be doing malacha and lighting candles, for example, too close to Shkia. So therefore,
are always off too.
Sorry?
Right,
that's true. That's also true. That's also a good point. Your clocks could be off. Okay, so if you have a cell phone that's, you know, character based on the satellite, so fine. So maybe you're more confident about that. But the satellite is the same as the other thing. You don't know. You can never know by a few minutes. Even the Chazon Ish says 2 or 3 minutes. But Rav David Feinstein is saying, he told my brother, he says, for sure he would say even up to 6 minutes before sunset. Because he says, it's just like Shabbos. He told my brother-in-law, who would do malacha 6 minutes before Shkia on Friday? So my brother-in-law was like, I would, you know, like 6 minutes. But Rav David Feinstein was telling him that, like, 6 minutes, you got to stay away.
So is that the window 6 minutes?
Rav David Feinstein said, he said 6 minutes. I think that was the limit. I'm pretty sure that 7 minutes and 8 minutes, even Rav David Feinstein would be okay with that. But that I know, that he told my brother-in-law 6 minutes. 6 minutes, you shouldn't be doing malacha on Friday. 6 minutes before sunset.
For men.
For women also.
But for women, isn't it 18 minutes
before? No, again, the 18 minutes before sunset is the preferable time to light the candles.
Right. So you're saying if you miss that 18
If you miss that 18 minutes, don't wait till 1 minute before.
Right.
Don't wait another 70. You should be doing it 17 minutes before sunset. And if not,
so
you should do
6 minutes come in?
That's 12 minutes after the 18 minutes is only 6 minutes before sunset.
Okay.
Meaning, don't wait. Rav David Feinstein is saying, don't wait till 6 minutes before sunset. You should do it right away. 17 minutes, if not, then 16, then 15, then 14, 13, all the way down to 7. To 6, if a person didn't light candles, there I think I would tell you that 6 minutes before sunset, you could still light the candles. Meaning, I wouldn't, like, turn off a light or, you know, put on the hot plate, but if you didn't light candles, that I think you should do 6 minutes before, because, you know, I think it's still safe. 6 minutes, even 5 minutes or 4 minutes, I think you could. The mitzvah of lighting candles, you know, that much, I think, you know, if you didn't do, preferably not, but if you didn't, I think you out.
So what if you, like, what if then I say, okay, I'm going to light just really early, but then I can't do anything. After you light, that's it.
Right, so for a woman, we hold that a woman should be accepting Shabbos upon herself when she lights candles. I was discussing this with your husband a few weeks ago when you were away for Shabbos.
Right.
So for a man, it's different. But for a woman who lights candles every Shabbos, she should preferably accept the Shabbos upon her when she lights the candles. There are certain exceptions. For a mitzvah, we hold that for a mitzvah, she's allowed to light candles and not accept Shabbos. What's an example of a mitzvah? For, let's say, she needs to daven mincha still, or she needs to do preparations for a mikvah. So something like that, that's a mitzvah, so then we let that she's allowed to light candles but not accept Shabbos. But for other than that, the Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't be doing that. You should, if you light the candles, You could light early, but if you light the candles, you should be accepting, a woman should be accepting the Shabbos upon her. There's a limit to how early.
Right.
You can't just do it 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. Right. It has to be after a time that we call plag hamincha. And when a person makes early Shabbos, you know, in the summer, a lot of people want to make early Shabbos. So what does early Shabbos mean? Early Shabbos still has to be after plag hamincha, which is 10 3/4 hours into the day. Meaning 10 3/4, again, doesn't mean on 60 minutes. It means that the halachic 10 3/4 hours, that'll also be on myzmanim.com and on the calendars. If a person wants to make early Shabbos, you cannot accept Shabbos before plag hamincha. It's useless. And if a woman wants to light candles, light Shabbos licht before plag hamincha, if she lights before plag hamincha, she did not fulfill her mitzvah and she made a bracha levatala. So a person needs to be careful what time is plag hamincha. So that's as far as early Shabbos is concerned. You know, that's something to be careful. But yes, if you want 18 minutes before sunset, you could light a half hour before sunset if you want. But then for you, it's Shabbos.
It's Shabbos.
Right.
Do you have any like practical tips for how to make it to the 18 minute? You know, not beyond the 18 minutes? Or
my mother used to always set the table Thursday night.
Right.
But my mother's special. She's special in many ways.
What else does she do?
She does lots of things that are very hard for her people. My mother is extremely organized. Extremely. And it's in her genes. I mean, her father, my grandfather, who I'm named after, was extremely, extremely organized. And my mother's brother is extremely organized. You should see his house. It's impeccable. And but my mother's very organized. And when we came down Friday morning, in the kids' morning, the table's already set. Not with the china, not with the dishes, but the Shabbos tablecloth was on with the challah tray, and you know, challah perhaps was in a bag, but with the challah cover and the becher, and everything was there ready Friday morning. So that helps, and it helps to, you know, plan in advance and, you know, start setting up. My father always says, as far as giving the kids baths, you know, if it's the winter, my wife and I do this, you know, when we're able to, you give the kids baths Thursday night. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Say if it's a summer, so then Shabbos is not till 6, 7 o'clock on Friday, and it's hot, and they're going to be playing outside. Okay, I can understand. You don't want to do that. We don't do that. We give the kids, and there's more time on Friday afternoon. But if it's in the winter and it's cold, so the kids, I'm saying, you know, give them a bath Friday, Thursday night, and that'll take care of so much mm-hmm. of so much time right there. It's, you know.
I know. I changed my schedule around a little bit this last couple of weeks. We had guests, and I did all my cooking Wednesday and Thursday. Huh? Friday, I didn't have it to do with
anything. Right. But the Yetzer Hara is in the house on Friday. The Chazal tell us the Yetzer Hara is in the house on Friday, and he tries to put the pressure between the husband and the wife. So sometimes, you know, it gets very hard, even if so much was done before. But that's the Yetzer Hara is just doing his job. But yeah, the best is to light, you know, at 18 minutes. And like we said, if a person misses 18 minutes, then at least to do it as soon as possible.
This is kind of off topic, but is it okay to make challah on like Tuesday for that Shabbos?
If a person finds it too hard, it's preferable to do Friday, but if a person finds it too hard, definitely you don't have to do it Friday, okay? Our schedules are different than the way it was back then, and even though the Mishnah Berurah says that it's a big avera to buy challah from the bakery, you should always make it yourself and you should make it on Friday, but the times have changed. The place can say that times are different. Women work, women are out of the house, they're not home all day like the way it used to be. And if a person finds it inconvenient to bake their challahs on Friday, or just to bake their challahs in general, and they need to, and they want, or let's say they don't feel like their challahs come out very good, and it's more pleasurable for Shabbos to go to the bakery, and the bakery makes delicious challah. So then a person's allowed to buy challah, and a person is definitely allowed to make the challah earlier in the week if it's just going to cause strife in the house, and the person just doesn't have the time to do the rest of the Shabbos needs. My mother-in-law, once we're talking about my mother, so I mentioned my mother-in-law, she makes challah in the house every Friday. She's just like, that's her personality. She's just like totally unperturbed by last-minute things. She's just like a last-minute type of person, and she's just like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, she's just out making a whole bunch of challah. That's the way she is. So that's great, you know, it's special. But for most people, they can't, they're not able to do that, including my wife. You know, she doesn't have her genes like my mother-in-law, so you know, you could do it earlier.